This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And welcome to Race Day, Daytona 500 weekend. Already seen some amazing races this weekend at 10:06. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much to the great sponsors, including Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Deep South Speedway. So, standing by, Bill Roth is going to join us for a major announcement about Mobile International Speedway and racing this season. And trust me, drivers, fans are going to be quite happy about this one. So hang on. Also, Jay Wells, the promoter of the new Deep South Speedway, ready for action today as the track is open for the first time of the season. It's open practice at 11 o'clock. They're going to have food for you as well. And again, a lot of drivers heading over to check out the brand new service over there, see how it goes. And Dustin Long with NBC Sports. Now, he's live from Daytona with so many stories to cover. Obviously, the truck race is one of the biggest ones. And NASCAR even has some new, I guess they're calling them new sanctions or rules for behaviors. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But the story along the Gulf Coast for the Camping World Truck Series was Grant Enfinger. Everyone was watching him. He had an amazing run, started on the pole, loved watching it all the way from yesterday morning until the end. And I've been blessed to have GMS Racing Grant Enfinger's driver right here. It's Grant on the show. And Grant, first of all, good morning. And the biggest thing you want to tell the fans this morning is you're probably okay, right?
Oh yeah, and I'm fine. They build these things pretty safe, and we got good quality stuff at GMS Racing. So I feel fine this morning, physically anyway. You know, it was just really a picture perfect weekend, all up until about 10 laps to go. It kind of went bad for us there, but really happy our teammate was able to pull off the win. That gets GMS Racing in the chase for the end of the year, and proud of our effort being able to sit on the pole down there. So. I want to hold our head high about, you know, like I said, just didn't get the finish we quite wanted.
How did you, for folks that don't know, tell us about how the truck ride came about and the changes from last year to this year?
You know, obviously, being able to secure the ARCA championship last year helped with everything, and Champion Power Equipment has come on board for some racers starting here at Daytona. So this was their it was actually their first race of any kind at Kansas last year in the ARCA finale, and this was their first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race. So those guys were all at Daytona with us on the pit box. Those guys had a good time, and hopefully that's the beginning of a good long relationship there. But you know, GMS is really provided me with really great equipment for the last 2 years. And yeah. You know, like I said, we'll have to see how the rest of everything plays out, but we got it started out right yesterday. We just didn't finish it off right. So we'll have another shot this weekend in Atlanta.
Well, and let's say, you know, it seems that, I want to kind of hear your view of it. You know, people on the local Facebook, at least down here, and your fans, biggest fans are really, I wouldn't say crucifying Johnny Sauter, but, you know, said that he bumped you out of the way. And then, you know, and there was a gentleman named Tad that was also on Facebook, was there to track. And he kind of explained that it was so physical at that part of the race, bumping and grinding. And I mean, and you could probably say this, if you could reach out and touch one of those other trucks as you're driving out there, you'd probably spin it out. You guys are that close. And he got bumped in the back from behind, but you got pushed up to the side. You went to the high side. You fell back. What was your take on that particular situation?
It's just a product of this kind of racing. Yeah. You know, in my opinion, the truck super speedway racing is one of the most fun things you can do in the driver's seat, and it's one of the most exciting things you can watch as a fan, because they do punch such a big hole in the air that the air just goes crazy with these things. So any little thing you do has a big reaction, and he was getting pushed from behind, and when he hit me, he was still wiggling just a little bit, and that's what caused me to go off the track, and I had to pedal it to keep from hitting the wall, and that's what kind of shuffled his back. But you know, it's nothing. It wasn't any ill will or anything like that. We were racing like teammates the whole night. It just didn't work out the way we wanted it to at the end. So, like I said, I've been on both sides of that. So I know what happened there. It's just unfortunate for us. But you get down to the end of the race, and everybody's pushing and shoving, and they want their lane to prevail. And you know, like I said, unfortunately, that's what happened.
I mean, white knuckle. I'm imagining, because you guys, those speeds that you're hitting, what, 180? How fast are you guys hitting in these tracks, trucks as you're getting into the draft?
You know, I'm not really sure, Kane. I think it's somewhere around 190, 195. I know we pick up a good 10 miles an hour in the draft, so which is, you know, a little different than the cars. You know, the cars are a little faster in single car runs, but in the draft, we're all about the same speed. So it, you know, it's pretty quick, and like I said, the air just plays so much havoc anyway. But when you're in one of these big rolling cinder blocks, it just makes it that much worse. So, like I said, that's a product of why it's so exciting to watch these races. But that's also, you see some of these big wrecks, and that's also a reason why.
And obviously, you have to have a great spotter to be at Daytona, and also some of the bigger tracks like Talladega. Who's your spotter, and what kind of conversations? Are you one that likes to stay quiet and not talk much, or are you one that just really kind of wants to hear all the information? I guess it depends on which track you're at, too, right?
Yeah, it does depend on what track we're at. I'm fortunate to have a good spotter in Tyler Green. So he was talking to me the whole way through the whole time. And Talladega and Daytona both are not rhythm tracks. So I like to hear as much information as I possibly can. Just because you can't see very well out of these trucks, you're relying on that spotter to let you know what lane's moving, what's coming next, and if somebody's really tight to you, you need to know all that information, and you can't see it for yourself. So I like to hear a lot of information in tracks like these. When we get to Atlanta next week, you know, hopefully he talks once or twice a lap, you know. Yeah. But Daytona and Talladega, they're pretty much keyed up for three-quarters of the way around the track.
Can you walk us through your mindset? You're coming down two laps to go. You're charging back onto the high side. You get back into the mix, and then that final lap. And it's always in the back of your mind, but imagine, I mean, you're so focused as a driver. You're not thinking about, oh, is the big one coming? But when it does, you really don't have much time to react. I mean, you have to be really, isn't it a rule to keep it state, you know, punch it down and drive through it?
You know, it really just depends on the situation you're at. I've been in situations where I've held my foot down and hoped for the best, and it's been all right. I've done that, and it hasn't been all right too. So, you know, yesterday I saw everybody when they started wrecking. I saw them going high. I was already in the high lane, so I tried to push my way to the middle lane. Well, that didn't work out either, and it's one of those situations where I was about three or four rows back from where it all started, and that's about the worst place you can be. But you know, at the end of the day, there's 32 trucks out there, and 18 of them were involved in that wreck. So it's a hard thing to avoid. You know, like I said, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't. Like I said, it wasn't the finish we wanted by any means yesterday, but it was a great week. It was a great week for GMS Racing. We had three really fast trucks. Like I said, we were fast all through practice, able to sit on the pole. And, you know, a lot to hold our head high about, and like I said, it's not where we wanted to end up, but I still feel like we have some momentum going into Atlanta.
Oh, I strongly agree. Now, as far as sponsorship goes, again, do you have, you said you do or do not have full-time sponsorship for the rest of the year? Are you still searching? I mean, as a driver and as a team owner, I know you're always looking for sponsors.
we're definitely not sponsored for the whole year. Oh, okay. So, Champion Power Equipment, like I said, this was their first race, and they're going to do some more with us here. But we are actively seeking to keep going and everything like that. So we're gonna be fortunate enough to like I said be at Atlanta this weekend with the same great partners that helped us last year in Alamo Rental Car, Legion Travel, Worth USA, and Triple K Construction. So those guys are getting us there, and like I said, hopefully we can keep this momentum going and roll right along.
Well, congratulations on the championship. I haven't had a chance to tell you that besides through text and Facebook and all that stuff. But, again, a well-deserved championship last year. And, you know, obviously everyone along the Gulf Coast was so proud and still is so proud of you. We pray for sponsorship for you and wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season. And we'll continue to try to get you on and keep the fans down here informed.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And thanks for all the local support down there. So, definitely very, very blessed to have a great support base down there, and And like I said, I'm kind of anxious about this this big news at Mobile International Speedway too. So I'm gonna be staying tuned in.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Grant. We appreciate you, my friend. Grant Enfinger again with GMS Racing, and you know that is some news. Something coming up with Mobile International Speedway, and it's going to be good for the fans, good for the local drivers, and some of the local classes. Some people might be concerned that there's not a lot of racing on the Gulf Coast around this track. Well, guess what? We got some pretty cool news for you. Hang on, and Dustin Long with NBC Sports is next. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks to the great sponsors, Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Deep South Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. Bill Roth joining us shortly about our major announcement with MIS and some racing this season. Going to be some good stuff. Also, Jane Wells, the promoter for the new Deep South Speedway, ready for action at the track today, opening up for the first time of the season. Open practice starts at 11. He's actually on the tractor now, so I'm hoping that he has time to come on your show and talk about it. But exciting stuff. So thank you to Grant Enfinger standing by again. He was on listening. He's listening now for that announcement with MIS. But again, Grant, what just a great run he had last night. The Truck Series, some good racing, and it's going to continue all through the weekend at Daytona. And Dustin Long with NBC Sports joins us now. And Dustin, good morning, and welcome from the heart of NASCAR this weekend.
Yeah, good morning from Daytona International Speedway, walking through the garage, the Sprint Cup garage. Team's preparing for the final Sprint Cup practice later today. It's quiet on the track right now, just a brief break in between qualifying. There's just two rounds for the Xfinity Series. They just completed the first round. Second round's about to start. First round, Austin Dillon was the fastest. Then he was followed by the Joe Gibbs Racing cars of Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, and Bobby Labonte, who's back in a Gibbs car this weekend in the Xfinity Series. And fifth was Brandon Jones. But it's a beautiful day. No clouds in the sky. It's low 70s and a lot of activity here in the garage. You can hear some noise, cars firing up as they're getting warming the engines and just kind of checking things before practice a little bit later here today at Daytona.
Well, yeah, there's a great story on the website. It's NBCSports.com/NASCAR. And, you know, after the racing on Thursday, drivers remain optimistic despite going backup cars for Daytona 500. Let's talk about the 20 car and, of course, the 48 car. Let's talk about what happened and what they've got to do to get back up there, because obviously those cars were destroyed in the accidents.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot of work, but I'll tell you what, you know, it was a lot of work for a couple of cars that didn't go to backups. Ryan Newman's car, which you can probably hear in the background just about 25 feet away, they repaired their car after an incident earlier this week. Kurt Busch, they repaired his car after an incident earlier this week. So certainly a lot of work, a lot of teams. But, yeah, going to backups for tomorrow's Daytona 500, Matt Kenseth loses his front row spot for the race. And you know, one thing that he told me when I talked to him after his crash on Thursday in the duel was, he says, you know, once I fell back, I should have just said, I wish the light bulb would have come on, because I should have just pulled off course and gone on to pit road, because he was guaranteed to start on the front row of the second qualifying spot, but now he'll start the back of the field. Now, he's not too concerned about starting at the rear. He's more concerned about losing just a really fast car, and he feels good about his backup, but he says, you know, you should be able to make it to the front of the pack in a 500-mile race. If you can't do that, you got bigger issues. Like, I just missed not having that car. So he goes to the rear. Jimmy Johnson goes to the rear. Martin Truex Jr. goes to the rear. A.J. Allmendinger goes to the rear. Brian Scott was involved in a separate incident on Thursday, and he will go to the rear. So at least five cars to the rear because of accidents the other night.
Well, you know, let me ask you about, you know, the whole thing about the new Daytona 500, the new seating, the new style. The stadium tickets is what they're calling it, sold out for the year. These are the new grandstands, and they're really, really, I think I heard that it was $400 million of the renovation that's going on to Daytona. So you're seeing the fan $400 response.
$400 million, that's about what you owe me for all these shows.
That's right. Well, the check's in the mail, by the way.
I can't wait to get that check.
That's right. Well, we already took the taxes out, so no. But tell me about that. What is the fan response like? Has it been popular, I'm sure?
Well, yeah, certainly it is. And I'll be honest, I haven't made it over there yet. I've been on the infield side in the garage, the pits, the media center all week. But I'm planning on going over there for the Xfinity race, watch the race from the press box, and walk around the concourse. I've heard a lot of spectacular things about the new stadium. that they've done over on the other side of the track. So I'm anxious to kind of see it. But it certainly seems to be a positive and something that the other tracks can aspire to take things from and make better for their fans down the road.
You know, you guys had a great story on the website about Special Reserve. You're talking about those last-minute drivers and have to fill in, a.k.a. Vickers in for Stewart. And, you know, you really had some neat – can you give us a little bit of the story behind that? Because you have some drivers that, again, might not even know that they're going to be – what, a week or two ago, he wasn't planning on running. Now he's in the Daytona 500. And you see a lot of the drivers that that are – maybe some of the good drivers out there that are only working because they can only fill in. What's the story behind that?
Well, the thing to think about is with this, you know, NASCAR has shown that they're willing to give out a waiver for drivers to miss races for injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where in years past, in some cases, you know, drivers would have tried to race with the injury. Now, I'm not saying Kyle Busch would have raced with his injury because he couldn't years ago that he had last year. But, you know, I think it's something you're going to see more of down the road. Obviously, Brian Vickers in the car here at Daytona for Tony Stewart. No announcement on who will be in the car after Daytona. From what my sources have told me, it'll be Ty Dillon in Atlanta and a few other races, and they're still trying to figure out his schedule. But, you know, one of the things is sometimes you don't know until at the last minute. Regan Smith has served as a substitute driver in the last 4 years for Dale Earnhardt Jr., Tony Stewart, and Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of instances, he only knew like a few hours before he was getting in the car.
Wow.
And it was really funny because he's done so many times. He had served as a replacement for Kyle Larson last year at Martinsville after Larson had his fainting spell the day before the race.
Yeah.
But Regan Smith's telling me about all these different experiences, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the Kyle Larson. He's like, God, I've had so many of these. I'm so glad I've got a full-time ride now. He's driving with Tommy Baldwin Racing in the number 7, but he's somebody that certainly has done a lot. Vickers has served in a backup role before with Denny Hamlin. And, you know, it's a special kind of life. I mean, because you just sometimes, as you can hear, cars are on the track now for the start of the second round of Xfinity qualifying. But sometimes you don't know how soon you're going to be in the ride. Sometimes there's not enough time to get the seat right. And Eric Jones was telling me, you know, when he filled in for Matt Kenseth for 2 races at the end of last year, when Kenseth was suspended for sending Logano at Martinsville, Eric Jones said there wasn't enough time to get change the seat the way he liked it for him. And he said at the Texas race last November, he was just really sore after that race because it just didn't fit right. So there's just a lot of little different challenges. David Reagan told me a great story when he was with Kyle, you know, driving for Joe Gibbs Racing last year for Kyle Busch. So when he first went to Joe Gibbs Racing, he didn't know where to go. He didn't know what doors to go through. He said it took him the longest time to kind of figure out his way around the building. He said he one time went through a door, and he's all of a sudden he's in the engine shop. Well, this is not where I need to be. So sometimes it's just little things like that. It's as much of a challenge as trying to learn the language of the crew chief and learning the names of the crew guys.
Can you give us NASCAR's new set of rules for behaviors or what the story is behind that? I know there was an announcement made this past week.
Yeah, NASCAR last night came out updated the rule book on its behavior penalties and the punishment, and basically, you know, laid out what are the typical penalties going to be or could be like for certain instances, like, you know, intentionally wrecking a competitor, especially one who is in the chase, as we saw last year with, you know, Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano.
We'll call it the Kenseth rule.
You know, yeah, that'll be something that'll lead to a suspension.
Wow.
Obviously, it did last year with Kenseth, who missed 2 races. But you know what the rule would be now is that the competitor could lose 50 to 100 championship points, be fined $150,000 to $200,000, and/or a 2-race suspension or indefinite suspension. So it's kind of clarifying some things like that. And they also just talk about, you know, other issues that, you know, where they could have penalties, drivers or competitors could face driver penalties of 25 to 50 points, fine $50,000 to $100,000, and face a 1-race suspension or an indefinite suspension for things such as physical confrontation with a NASCAR official, media members, or fans, or, as NASCAR describes it, a member-to-member confrontation with physical violence. Now, some people may think, well, wait a minute, what about Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson last year in the motorhome lot, after the Chicago race and the opening race of the Chase. In that sense, we did ask NASCAR, and they said, you know, something like that, realistically, although Harvick did shove Johnson, they walked away and were separated pretty quickly. That's probably something that they're going to let the competitors kind of sort through, and if they can't, then that would be something where NASCAR would intervene. The more, you know, member-to-member physical confrontation would be a lot more severe than maybe just like one shove or a push in a motorhome lot type of thing. But they are kind of basically standardizing it and just making it more clear. And then in essence, it's, the basic rule should be do the right thing and be smart. Mm-hmm. So this just kind of lays it out. If you're not, this is what's going to happen to you.
Dustin Long with NBC Sports talking with him. So we've got to go ahead and ask, what is your thoughts? Do you have a pick for the big race tomorrow?
I'll tell you what, it's certainly hard to go against Dale Earnhardt Jr. after what you saw on Thursday night's qualifying race, him winning. I talked to Austin Dillon after the race, who was often close to Jr. behind Jr. Austin Dillon told me, he's like, look, Dale Jr. was just playing with us tonight.
Oh.
And he said one of the things that Dale Jr. could do so well is he could pull out a line if he wasn't leading, go to the bottom by himself, and make the move. Whereas Austin said when he would try to do the same thing, he goes out by himself, all of a sudden all that wind is hitting the front of his car. He says it's basically slowing it down as if it's got a parachute on the back, and he couldn't make the moves that Dale Earnhardt Jr. did. That being said, you know, Jr. obviously is the obvious pick. I usually don't go with those. I'll tell you, there's a couple guys that I really like that I've seen so far. Is I really like Denny Hamlin, and again, you know, he did a nice job the other night in that first qualifying race. He was essentially, I think there was one other Toyota in the field, and that was David Ragan, who was further back, so Denny had no help, and still finished and ran up in the top and ran well. He's strong on these types of tracks. The Gibbs cars are good. That's one driver I'd watch. I'll tell you, another driver I'd watch is Joey Logano. I really like some of his aggressiveness, some of the moves he made in Sprint Unlimited the other night. Did some good things in the qualifying race. He's somebody who's really kind of picked things up, as long as he doesn't get too aggressive. And obviously he didn't last year at winning the Daytona 500. He's another one to watch. If you're looking for a dark horse, it was 5 years ago that Trevor Bayne won this race. It was his first career NASCAR Sprint Cup win. You want to call for a long shot? Hey, is tomorrow the day Kyle Larson finally gets that first win that we've been waiting on for such a long time?
Right.
So those are some of the names that just kind of come to mind immediately. But obviously, you know, Daytona 500 and restrictor plate racing, who knows what will happen.
Well, Dustin, how can we keep track of you? Obviously, NBC Sports does a great job. The website, NBCSports.com/NASCAR. But you have so much information, great photos right in the middle of it all. How can we follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at Dustin Long. And you follow me on my Facebook page. I've got a journalist Facebook page where I'm dumping a lot of my putting a lot of the racing information on. Mm-hmm. And you also follow my colleague, Nate Ryan, who is here, and his Twitter address is at Nate Ryan. So the two of us are here and been here for the last, I don't know, what is it, 9-10 days now?
I know, right?
So got a little bit more time, a little bit more racing. This is when everything starts picking up here, so looking forward to the next couple days here. Daytona National Speedway, it's going to be beautiful weather, and looking forward to some great racing, some spectacular racing last night, and the good news was that Christopher Bell, after that big tumble, rolling over about 8.5 times, was released early this morning from a Daytona hospital. He had been evaluated and released. He'd walked out of the car after that truck after that incident, but was taken to a local hospital to be checked out and was released in the early morning hours this morning, so things are good so far.
Well, Dustin, we appreciate everything, and that $400 million check, we'll work out a payment plan, okay?
All in one payment.
Yes, that's right. Well, okay, I'll send you another check. Hey, Dustin, thanks a lot. Have a great time in Daytona.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
All right, Dustin Long with NBC Sports. Coming up next, well, we've got news about Mobile International Speedway with Bill Roth. Hang on. And also Jay Wells from the new Deep South Speedway. Open practice today in 26 minutes? Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, always brought to you by great sponsors like Mobile International Speedway, Pie Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Deep South Speedway. Now, Bill Roth is going to be joining us here in a few minutes about a major announcement with Mobile International Speedway and the racing this season, but it's time to get dirty. And one guy who likes to get dirty on the track, that's going to be Jay Wells. Hey, how's that for an intro, brother?
Yeah, I like that one.
And Jay Wells is the new guru at the new Deep South Speedway racetrack, sports venue, stadium, and all around just huge, huge, awesome opportunity here for the drivers to come out today, because you've got it open. You've got a brand new track service, essentially, and we were just talking off the air. It's finally where it needs to be.
It's really, really close. We moved every bit of dirt here. We reshaped the track to its original configuration. She is 80 feet wide on the straightaways, 80 feet wide at the entry and exit of corners, 90 feet wide in the middle of the turns.
That's 3 and 4 and, wide racing right there.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you could race track to trailers 4 wide out here and not have a problem now.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about what's going on today. Obviously, this is the first time that the fans and also the drivers have a chance to really get a good look at the track and be a part of it today.
Yeah, today's open practice. We're going to open the pit gates at 11:30. $10 a car, $10 pit pass. Grandstand admission is free, mm-hmm. And we'll be here from noon. The track will be hot from noon until about dark, and just give everybody a chance to come out and see all this hard work that we've been putting into it that's still going on at this moment. I don't know if you can hear the equipment still rolling around the track in the background, but we'll have it ready to rock here in just a little while.
Well, and I know you've got opening night is March 5th. Talk about that with the Lucas Oil ASCS Southern Outlaw Sprints. That's going to be a huge show.
Yeah, the wing sprints are always really exciting here on the 410s, and they love the place. You know, they love the speed, and they'll be here. The Southern Outlaw Sprints are now the southeastern region of that national sanctioning body, so that's going to draw cars. We've talked to some of the USCS people that are off that week, and they're coming down, several guys from way deep down in Florida, heard that we're running the sprints up here, and they're coming up, so
awesome.
Really ought to be a good car count, and again, the wing sprints on this high-banked 410s are always a thrill.
This track has been through so much, through so many years, and now, with the way it is now, and the way it's set up, it has a new birth. That's why you're calling it the new Deep South Speedway. So if there's anything we can put out there to let the fans know, to let the drivers know, what would it be? What are some of the positive changes?
Nothing is going to be the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not worried about how things were, how they got done, because as we found out in time, you know, that was wrong. And we've had the pleasure of sitting back and watching everybody do it wrong. And I think our plan is the right one, and we're going forward with that. We're focused on the future, not worried about the past.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. Now, also, it was announced, I think, this week about the Southeastern Crate Series. You guys got them 9 nights. Tell us about that championship.
Yeah, that's something. American Racer is a big sponsor of the racetrack. We are an American Racer race tire house, and they have helped us out hugely, or immensely, whatever the proper word would be.
It's South Alabama, it don't matter.
to this effort, yeah. So we've teamed up with American Racer Tire and my old Southeastern Crate Series, late model series, and Monty Skinner's a big help with that. And we're doing 9 races here. We'll have a points champion for the 9 race series. Mm-hmm. And we're doing something a little special. If you run American Racer Tires, there'll be additional points money. If you finish in the top 5 in the feature on American Racers, you get 1 free tire.
Wow.
That's a $145 value.
Wow.
If you win a feature on American Racer Tires, I will give you 2 late model tires. So that's a $290 value.
Dude, that's huge. And then also, with the other classes you've got, let's talk about, you've changed up some of the shop from the hobby stocks to the pure stocks, and you've got 1,000 to win races with the pure stocks. Tell us the difference between the two cars again.
Yeah, the pure stocks are, the pure stocks, as everybody's seen around here, and there's a lot of them, and some of the guys didn't want to move up or make some changes to their cars, so we just went ahead with those rules as they were written.
Mm-hmm.
And the hobby stock is basically a half a step up from that. There needed to be something between a pure stock and a Nismith street stock, so we moved this hobby stock class, which is already in play, at Hattiesburg, our neighbor to the west here. It's basically a pure stock car that you can run any header. You can run a standard transmission, a 9-inch Ford rear end, a floater rear end, and race guys all know what that all means. It's basically not really a faster car, but a more dependable race car, and we need that because if we're a big 3/8 around the outside edge, we're 4/10. So you need a little tougher car and a little braver driver to come and race here.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Also, you can't forget about the motorcycles. I'm so excited to see that they're coming back, and the fans really dig those guys and girls.
Yeah. We're working with Rob McClendon and
Van Raber.
Those boys, and we're bringing motorcycle racing several times here. They love it. We're going to do some things on the big oval, and we're also going to set up the whoopie-doos and whatnot in the infield and do a little bit of that stuff. And, they'll be here. We're kind of, those guys all race AMA road racing too for the most part. So, again, I apologize to everybody for not having our schedule out yet, but what everybody else does is kind of critical to what we do.
Right.
So that the guys will all have an opportunity to come. And, they're looking forward to coming in force. I mean, we've even got mini bikes. We're going to a mini bike gathering. We're going to run them. And so far, there's like 70 of them confirmed that are going to be here. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
You need to get on one of those.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd look good. I could make one of those look good.
That's it. Well, again, opening night, March 5th. The website, give us the website, Facebook, and Twitter information.
Yeah, website, you can just go to deepsouthspeedway.com. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody knows. That's the easiest to remember. So just type in deepsouthspeedway.com, and it'll take you to ours. Our address is actually .net, but type in .com, it'll take you to our website. Facebook, we're at facebook.com/deepsouthloxley. And Twitter, we are at 4, and the word tense, T-E-N-T-H-E, so 4/10 on Twitter.
We'll make sure to have all those pictures up today, and can't wait to see some of the track, with the track busy with the cars today. So good luck, and we appreciate you coming on the show, Jay.
All right, man, look forward to it.
Absolutely. Again, Jay Wells, the new promoter of the new Deep South Speedway, still to come and standing by. We've got the latest information about Mobile International Speedway, the racing season this year, the voice of Mobile, and Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway will be on next. Hang on. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, always brought to you by amazing sponsors like Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Deep South Speedway. Kane Motorsports is going to be driving all over the Gulf Coast, from the dirt car to the pro truck and my final year in the bomber. And I want to thank McDonald's for being a big part of what we're doing again this year, also with what we do with childhood cancer. And if you guys go to KanesWarriorKids.com, that's K-A-N-E-S, WarriorsKids.com, you can find out a lot of information about the latest what we're doing, the Easter egg drops back at the Children's Hospital. Thank you also to new sponsor Cyclops Vapor, helping a lot of people quit smoking, and this is the way to do it. Pull Apart back with us, ABC Designs, Fallsack Tires, also Ingersoll Motorsports, Casp Industries, and BA Motorsports, Cross Creek Realty. We've got K1RaceGear.com back on this year, Coastal Traffic, Metro Glass of Mobile, the Ratty Rods of the South, and the Belrose Tattoo and Piercing. If you go to SeanHerman.com, you'll see some amazing work if you want to get some pretty cool artwork. So I've been plugging it all morning long, and even Grant Enfinger is standing by for this announcement, Bill Roth. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm pretty good. We've been doing a lot of work on this, what you've been pre-promoting. But let me, couple of things first. This is not a best of repeat show. This is live on the air.
In the studio, finally.
January.
Yes.
So whatever we say here is what's going to happen in the next several months.
This is true. All right, that's a good way to put it, because I have been on repeat for a couple weeks.
Right. And the second thing is, well, I really thought Grant Enfinger was going to be the second driver from Mobile to win a NASCAR truck race at Daytona.
I was mad. I yelled at the TV and even woke up the dogs. I was so mad.
I know, and I have to say that if you look at the replay, I think you might understand that I believe the villain in all that is Matt Crafton, not Sauter. Anyway, but the most important thing is when we were having our banquet, our season-ending awards banquet for Five Flag Speedway in Pensacola that very night, Grant Enfinger was getting married in Orange Beach.
That's right. That's right.
So congratulations to Grant.
Absolutely. And he's had a good start to the year. So, well, let's talk about it. We obviously know Mobile International Speedway has a little bit less schedule racing this year, correct?
That's true. And let me back up and get even higher up in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Everybody that knows me, everybody that's been around racing, understands that the sportsmen and the bomber guys, the families, the people that put these cars on the racetrack every week are the bedrock, the foundation of racing. I mean, they are what we do all the time. They spend way too much money on their cars. They spend way too much time on their cars.
Yeah.
But they're faithful, and they bring them out. And they're the guys that modifieds, late models, even up to NASCAR, is built on their shoulders. That's our bedrock here. So when it became apparent that Mobile International Speedway was only going to be able to have a limited schedule, unfortunately, but that's the reality that,
right.
The business reality that we're dealing with here. And knowing that the guys with the foundation divisions, the bedrock of racing, asphalt racing on the Gulf Coast, were only going to have six times to race on this side of the Mobile Bay this entire season, I got it in my mind that I would approach Wayne O'Kresick at Sunny South Raceway and say, hey, Wayne, I've come up with these seven weekends that don't conflict with Irvington, and as a matter of fact, don't even conflict with Five Flags on Friday nights, and what I'd like for you to do is race the sportsmen and the bombers from Mobile those seven times.
Yeah.
If you'll do that, I'll get sponsorship, and we'll come up with a championship. We'll make it a series.
Yep.
And he said yes.
That's awesome.
So we're going to do that.
That is huge news.
It is, and I'm glad to be able to do it. Nobody's making any money here except drivers. This is all on a volunteer basis. So it's called the Highway 90 Challenge Series because both tracks are on Highway 90, and we're going to do it for sportsmen and bombers. And thanks to Bob Speed Shop, who has always sponsored the sportsmen at Mobile. They're going to sponsor the sportsmen in the series.
Wow. Awesome. Thanks, Bob.
And also, Sandy Sanford. He's always sponsored the bombers.
Yeah.
And he's going to sponsor them for the entire series.
Thank you, Sandy. Big fan of his as well. And you're right. Those are the kind of people you involved and all the drivers. And you set it up right. All these families that spend the money that they shouldn't do to put in these cars are the foundation of the racers, including me. And we are just, as a driver, thrilled and honored to be able to do this. Because now, some people can't make it to Five Flag Speedway on a Friday night. Plain and simple. They can't go race over there. You've got jobs. You don't get off till 5 or 6. Not going to happen. Now, you've got a schedule where you can run Mobile International Speedway and travel down Highway 90 to Sunny South Raceway, change the rear ends of the cars, change the gears, and you are ready to rock. And I'm telling you, I won the first Bomber Championship there a couple years ago, 2013, and we just might have to come back and play again.
Well, you know, that's exactly the attitude that we're looking for here. We're going to make this available to everybody. They're going to have to participate.
Yeah.
Now, because I know we're going to run out of time.
We got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah. That there are 13 total races in this championship and we're going to keep points just like they keep them at Mobile. We'll add them up and we'll have a champion at the end. We're going to have championship money for the top five guys in both divisions. We're going to have championship trophies for the top five guys in both divisions. It's going to start, so you guys that are interested and want to do this series got to get ready because it's going to start with the NASCAR K&N race at Mobile, and the night for local racing of that is March 11th.
Right, Friday night.
Right, and then the second race will also be at Mobile with the sprint cars on April the 2nd. Then we go to our first race at Sunny South April the 23rd. Then we'll be back at Sunny South May the 21st. On May the 28th, we'll be at Mobile along with the Southern Super Series. That's a doubleheader Super Series weekend with Five Flags. Then we're back to Sunny South on June the 4th, and then June the 18th. Back to Mobile on June the 25th with the Pro Late Models Twin 50s. Back to Sunny South on July 2nd and July 16th. Back to Mobile on July 30th, another Pro Late Model Twin 50 race there.
Wow.
Back to Sunny South on August 13th. and then back to Mobile for the Lee Fields race on August 20th.
Bill, email me that information and give me all the
I'm not
going
to have to. You know why?
Why? Good. Tell me.
Because part of my volunteer army here, Dave Pavlock and Chuck Corder, the writer at Five Flags, are preparing signage and press releases, and we're going to have it on everybody's website. We're going to have it on Facebook as soon as we can early next week.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to hear. Bill, first of all, as a driver, as a DJ, as everything I do with the racing side, thank you for doing what you guys are doing. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Tim Bryant. Thank you, everyone, because that gives us an opportunity to race now. As we wrap up the show with about 45 seconds again, I just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing. I think that's huge, and all these drivers now have a chance to race.
Yep, that's exactly what we were after. I wanted to do it because they've supported me since I've come south in the 70s.
Yep.
So here it is. We'll talk more about it later on, but watch the website, Facebook, beginning early next week, and you'll see all about it.
Trust me, I'll have it on mine. Thank you, my brother. Have a great rest of the weekend.
All righty.
All right, again, Bill Roth, and how about that? It's the Highway 90 Challenge Series. I love the name, and I love the fact that you guys got lots of racing now. 13 total races, I think is what he said. We'll have more information coming up. And remember, check us out at caneswarriorkids.com. Thank you, Bill Roth, Grant Enfinger, Jay Wells, and Dustin Long. God bless you all, and love you, Mom.